Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
The economy is improving, as the governor and the Democratic-led legislature leads us to believe. Can tax hikes be far behind? Well, the answer is no. Tax hikes still will come. California's Proposition 30, officially titled, you ready for this? Temporary Taxes to Fund Education, is set to expire in the spring of 18. A coalition of education leaders and other groups on Monday filed an initiative for next year's ballot to temporarily extend those taxes on some of the wealthiest residents. Wow. Governor Brown, who championed Proposition 30 as temporary, there's no such word as temporary in the government, has stressed that the sales and incomes tax portion should remain as written and expire in the spring of 2016. Now, the original proposition affected earners earning over $250,000 a year and raised the state sales tax by 0.25% over 4 years. The new initiative entitled, here you go, folks, School Funding and Budget Stability Act would boost income taxes on couples earning more than $500,000 a year for the next 12 years. That's not a canned laugh. Democratic strategist Gail Kaufman, who was leading the effort, stated, temporarily extending these critical revenues will help keep our state budget balanced and prevent devastating cuts to programs affecting students, seniors, working families, and health care. Now, here's the proposal not on the fast track in the Democratic-led legislature. Make it affordable for a business or a company in California not to worry about bureaucratic red tape, the EPA, or any other government agencies that hinder job growth. And, as a byproduct, create tax revenue for the state. Sounds simple, that it can't work or won't be allowed to work. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. It's the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE. And with me, as always, my good friend over to my right. Oh. He's back up on his chair now, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how you doing today, man?
Oh, my God. I just can't help it, folks. Yeah. I mean, read that again. What did they title this
initiative?
They
are going to title the new one, the School Funding and Budget Stability Act. There's got to be an acronym, SFBS. A in there somewhere, BS probably should be in there somewhere as well, my friend. Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Stability.
School funding stability. You know, I'm laughing real hard, folks. Bear with me here for a second, because once again, I have to point out, I hate to say we told you so, but we told you so.
Yeah.
And as we are beginning to upload shows, past shows on our podcast, thank you, iTunes, available now on iTunes, I'm beginning to kind of listen to some of our shows in the past, and good Lord, it's almost sickening. I mean, we're laughing to keep from crying, really, in the studio. I mean, once again, the power of leftist propaganda. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voices are heard. Now on iTunes, too.
It is great, and it is very difficult to believe, but I was wondering when this was going to come about, because it is the initiative time. They want to get those on the ballot. And 12 more years. They want to go out to 2030 on that, Andrew, on that. 2030. Now, I'm going to be retired by then, and I'm sure a lot of people in our line of work are going to be retired, but there's a lot of kids out there and younger folks that they're going to find out what temporary means. Temporary in 2012 to 2030. 18 years is temporary. It's like half of somebody's lifetime in the workforce out there. So are they just going to keep it like it is? They want to put it in a fund for the kids, and everything is for the kids. They had to get school funding in there, but state the Stability Act in there as well. You know, the idea of not being on the fast track on there about how about getting out of the way of business and entrepreneurship and the EPA and the government red tape, getting out of the way. Let's get some tax back here in our state because of job growth and like that. Not just taxing the poor working class folks out there.
Well, the propaganda, the word that I just used, is 100% about, hey, the economy is doing great. We are doing wonderful. Everything's good. The budget is balanced, even though we're $8 billion, you know, short on a few other things. So yeah, we need to extend these taxes because we overfunded Proposition 98 and we got the $8 billion shortfall coming because of transportation infrastructure and all these things that are clearly in the budget if we read it. But then again, you know, hey,
we're doing good.
We're doing so good. We need to extend, like you said. Yeah. I'm laughing so hard about the renaming of this Proposition 30 tax. And so, you know, ultimately, we're just going to bring it to you folks up and down California here on this broadcast. And, you know, it's up for us to really make those decisions. I mean, we're joking, but this is pretty serious. Look, the seriousness behind this is, once again, you know, the legislature is lying to you. The initiative process is lying. They're trying to, they knew when Jerry Brown got behind, when California Governor Jerry Brown got behind Proposition 30, he knew that the end game intent was going to be to make these permanent. Everybody did.
Oh, always.
Man. I mean, it's not like we're the smartest ones on the radio, but at the same time, you know, we just have got to stop putting up with this nonsense as voters, because those, you know, when we overfund Proposition 98 K through 12, 14 funding to a whopping $65 billion, of course, they're not going to be able to sustain those obligations, because when those taxes deplete or expire in 2018, that revenue is going to be lost. So this attempt is clearly being successfully done by the California legislature and California Governor Jerry Brown to overfund this budget, to make this budget so fat now that it's just going to be difficult. And you're going to hear the word, and we've said this in the past, the draconian cuts are now coming to Proposition 98. The draconian cuts to our children in our school system. Well, look, I mean, at some point in time, those cuts are going to have to happen. And it's interesting because what's set to actually happen by 2030? I mean, it's interesting how these numbers are starting to line up, these years are starting to line up. The reality is that we know at the federal level is projected that the Social Security will be depleted by 2030. So at some point in time, these taxes are...
I'm not laughing anymore.
Hello.
I mean,
if the Social Security fund is depleted and other obligations, which are still going to continue over the next 15 years, are still going to plague California, the foreseeable unforeseen, but its foreseeable pension obligations and health care obligations, as they still rise, these costs are there. But eventually, we're going to have to make a decision. We're going to have to, you know, take a Bernie Sanders approach and tax everybody at 90% to sustain the state government, or we're just going to have to start making cuts. I don't want to hold folks in California. We have to decide that, so it's time to really start thinking about it.
Well, it is, Andrew, and that it is the elections from now on, folks. It's very serious. It's very serious from now on. Where do you want your money to go? How do you want it to go? Who do you want to be in the leadership roles, not only in your city, your county, your state, and the federal level as well? You need to get involved. You need to be informed. You need to you have to want to have money for yourself. You want to have the money for the kids. But there is plenty of it out there, plenty of ways we can do it without taxing the middle class. Once again, they say it's not going to do that, but it trickles down to everybody because the highest earners are the ones that have the jobs, and who are they going to pass it along to? It's always going to come down to us.
It's like we always forget. I mean, you know, we don't have to look far that, you know, back that far, I guess, you know, to see exactly the messaging that we're hearing today. It's almost the same messaging from 2 years ago. And so they're incorporating that propaganda. And so, you know, eventually, hey, maybe we need to start remembering the propaganda messages from the left just from 2 years ago as we go into next year.
Man, I'm not laughing anymore, Andrew. I can't laugh anymore. At what you're saying, buddy.
All right, California and the rest of the nation, time for what you should know if you don't already know. Today's date, September 18th. The year is 1679. Interesting. New Hampshire becomes a county, not a state, in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Great. 1793. U.S. President George Washington lays the cornerstone of the Capitol building. 1851, the New York Times starts publishing, ready for a whopping 2 cents a copy. And then, of course, 1895, Booker T. Washington delivers his Atlanta Compromise address. And if you don't know what that is, folks, Google it.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report. Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE. Catch us at SierraDittyNews.com about a half hour after the show. And don't forget about our website, the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard.
Propaganda on the first segment of the show. You know, it's all for the kids. That's why we have to extend taxes. You know, if you missed that, folks, be sure to go back to some of those websites, in particular on ours, 503 Report, where America's Voice is Heard.com, and check us out to catch all of these segments that are not being heard on the rebroadcast. And, of course, you know, we want to thank a couple individuals that have become part of our 503 network, Alter Effects, John Schuford. We appreciate everything you do. Of course, on our website, you can have a link directly to what he can do, and he can really, 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 really spice up your business. So check him out. And of course, Klaus Feige, good friends of ours with Cruise One Travel. Once again, a link directly from our website to his, and check out some of those travel packages that Klaus Feige and Cruise One. And this was an interesting one, healthsavers.com. We want to say thank you, Ms. Blandy Miranda, for coming on board with us, and soon to have that link established. But I find this one very interesting, healthsaversstore.com. You can actually go to that link, and people kind of, you know, they confuse some of the things that you go to a doctor for. Well, I guess what? You don't have to go to a doctor for some of the little things that we go to doctors for. You can check out this website and have some supplies and simple things like a blood test actually done on the internet.
And, wow.
Yeah, very simple process. Rather than make an appointment with your doctor, wait forever in that waiting room just to get a blood test. But lots of interesting stuff on this. Check it out, folks. HealthSaverStore.com. Thanks for being part of this 503 network. You know, Tim, the chill's in the air, buddy.
It is. I'm not liking that.
You know what, though? I'm okay with it. You know, I was talking with our good friend Christopher Bennett, and, you know, anybody, any older man today, young man who's played football, you know, grew up playing football, knows what this chill means. And, you know, there's an energy level, especially I'm fired up. I'm pumped up. It's football season. I can't wait to get into the college season. I'm looking at these top 25 rankings. And I have to tell you, you know, it looks like the AP might have it right this week as far as the placements of the teams. Ohio State right now has got a big game coming up. The big game to watch on Saturday will be Alabama, though. Alabama,
Ole Miss.
I tell you what, man, that's going to determine some stuff. And if Ohio State doesn't come out and make an impressive win over this, I'm not even sure who they're playing, but it's not even
like Eastern Illinois or somebody.
Something like that. So if they don't like put a romp and stomp on them, I have a feeling that Alabama will jump over them to a number one if Alabama, you know, beats Ole Miss in any type of manner. So folks, you know, big games coming up this weekend, college football, can't wait. And if anybody wants to engage with that conversation with me, feel free, man. Feel free.
Absolutely, Andrew. We were talking, and I had a couple of letters, you know, for the school funding budget stability act. You can get rid of the SF for school funding, but it's the BS right after that. The BS, the budget stability act. We talked about that. California, you better look out. The folks that you elect to office come next year, because that initiative might be out there. Well, vote. The voters out there, you're voting on that Stability Act. You want to keep on having that 0.25%. Oh, that doesn't seem like anything. But we've been 0.25%ed from like 2% up to 7.5% over the last 20 years. So I, for one, am about tired of that. And I don't want to see another 12 years tacked on to that going to 2030, Andrew.
Well, there's a reason why Reno, Nevada, just down the road from us, their economy's beginning to boom. I mean, you know, everybody gets it in their head that, you know, nobody's leaving California because everybody wants to live in California. Everybody wants to come to California. Yes, everybody wants to come to California, but, you know, Californians are leaving California. Yeah, the question is who's coming into California? When we talk about a 40 million population potential here real soon, who is actually in California? Are they producers or are they recipients of the producers? So, yeah, ultimately, Californians need to – we just got to wake up. Wake up, California. It's time to pay attention. The propaganda is right in front of you. We're going into an election season. There's going to be all kinds of wag the dog spin, but you, the listener, the voter, need to start paying attention. Start understanding this language. Start remembering this past language. And so we've solved the problems, I guess, in California with this past language that is now coming back up for future initiatives.
And it is, Andrew. And, you know, in our little way, we try to get out as much as we can in the allotted time that we can here on the 503 Report. But like Andrew said earlier, you can go to the 503 Report where America's voice is heard. You can check out our past shows because we talk each week about what is happening and what is going on. And we are ahead of a lot of that spin out there. And we are trying to lay it out in as simple terms as we can for everybody, because Lord knows the politicians won't do that.
All right. California Governor Jerry Brown is facing 640 bills that he's got to review and have signed or vetoed or rejected at some point by October 11th. That's just around the corner. 640 bills. I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of the information that we bring up here on the show is getting kind of lost. Because out of 640 bills, we're just going to wake up by October 11th and say, what happened? when did this law come into effect? And next thing you know, you're going to be pulled over by a California Highway Patrol officer, and you're going to be in violation of some transportation traffic law that you had no idea, perhaps, or maybe something else is going to occur. So 640 bills, some silly ones out there. Most of them are dealing with, well, look, the assisted death, which is a very controversial issue, you know. I've got an opinion about that, I believe, and it's going to be interesting to see what the outcome of that bill will be, whether or not the governor out here in California will support assisted death. And then, of course, the marijuana bill, AB 266, trying to put some regulation on the current medical marijuana, the Proposition 215. You know what? I mean, that was 1996, I believe.
And, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and so they're just now starting to put some...
They've been partaking in their product too much, I think.
Regulatory control over some of this. You know, I mean, if anything, what they should do is start regulating these doctors when it comes to, putting those subscriptions out there, putting those 215 cards. And so they need to start tightening up that as far as just giving a 215 card to just anybody who wants to smoke dope, which is really what is going on.
That's exactly what it is.
That's exactly
what it is. Calling it like it is.
Calling it way it is. So hopefully maybe they can get rid of some of the stupid ways that they handled this marijuana issue. And then, of course, hey, AB 1461. This one is kind of, this one's going to be controversy, I think. Every eligible Californian now will be automatically registered to vote whenever they do a transaction with the DMV, the California Department of Motor Vehicles. And so that's something that Alex Padilla, as currently our Secretary of State, has been pushing for. So automatic voter registration. I don't know if that should be done that way. Your right to vote is just as important as
your right
to not vote. And so if you want to register to vote, that is your right based on your independent will. I don't know if I like the idea of every individual being automatically registered to vote whenever they deal with the DMV, and they're going to have to make an immediate decision for party affiliation. I don't know. Most of the people who are not registered to vote already, there's a reason why. And, to all of a sudden increase Democrat number potentials at the DMV is something that we need to be aware of.
Is that what do you think that's going to happen, Andrew, then? If people go in there and they decline, is it going to be an automatic put on the Democrat side, and they can see that it's more and more Democrat in the state of California? Are they going to do a decline to state? Is that what it says in there? They are really going to ask you, hey, you have to register to vote? Is that how it's written?
When the bill comes out and if the governor signs it, then at that point in time, to quote Nancy Pelosi, you got to pass the bill before we know what's in it. So, those details are going to be, I just don't know if that is a constitutional way. It could be a very, very, very severe intrusion of an individual's privacy when it comes to the information.
Well, I think somebody like Rand Paul, if he were here in California, he would have a real issue with that, because the government once again is intruding on you. And like you said, Andrew, if I want to register to vote, and I do, and I have since I was 18 for nearly 40 years, I will go out there and I would do that on myself. And I'm already registered to vote, and I hold that sacred. A lot of folks, and we can see it by the numbers here in the great state of California, really don't get, they don't go out and vote. Now, maybe they're looking for it to be an uptick, Andrew, maybe that way as well. They're going to get more people to register through a DMV transaction and send them literature making sure that they go out and vote. That's probably what they're hoping for.
That's exactly what they're hoping for. And, like I said, it will increase automatically. I think most people, especially kids or younger people, yeah, I'm a Democrat. Most people are Democrats. The millennial generation is starting to shift a little bit. Most people are Democrats, I think, early on in life when it comes to how they think and how they feel. And then the reality hits, they get a job. They go out, try to start a family. They get married. They buy a house. Ooh. And all of a sudden they realize, whoa, wait a minute, man. When it comes, or maybe they have difficulty finding a job as a result of some of the policies by the Democrat Party out here in California. Now, look, this Senate Bill 249 is another one amongst the 640 bills before Governor Jerry Brown out here in California. Now, this one I don't like, folks. Basically, to issue what's called an enhanced driver's license, which will be utilized at the border for the purpose of showing not only just identity, but citizenship. Ooh. Within the United States. So that one is very, very controversial. Nobody's really paying attention to that. I don't know if driver's licenses are documents enough to be able to prove citizenship. But anyways, once again, just amongst other bills that we have to watch. And so, Californians, you decide. All we're trying to do is bring the information before you. But a lot of controversial bills, 640 bills, there's going to be some sleepers that are going to wake us up by October 11th.
Would you like to be a staffer for a governor? And because you so enjoy reading the budget and things like that, would you delve into, as many of the 640 as you could, Andrew, and advise the governor, who surely is not going to read all 640.
I'd advise the governor sit down with me and begin to read them with me, you know, when it comes to that. Obviously, you know, the governors and the members of the legislature in California and all legislatures across the nation do rely on certain entities within the legislature to be able to provide them with those cliff notes, with the versions of what those bills are about. But, you know, it's time to start reading them, California. It's time to start reading them, Governor. It's time to start reading those bills, members of the legislature. And you know what? To quote somebody very famous, otherwise we're going to have very, very stupid pieces of legislation pass that are going to govern over us.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE. A half hour after the show, SierraDailyNews.com and our website, iTunes as well. The 503 Report, where America's voice is heard.
Lassen Senior Services and Wheels West present Lassen County's first barbecue cook-off, Saturday, October 3rd, 11 a.m., Tractor Supply parking lot. For entry forms or more information, contact Penny Arts at Executive Director at LassenSeniorServices.org or call her 257-2113. Categories are brisket, pork butt, pork ribs, and chicken, judging based on KCBS scoring. Proceeds benefit Lassen Senior Services. The Westwood Family Resource Center Westwood One Stop offers a variety of services to local residents: computer internet access, copy, fax, and telephone, resource and referral, emergency baby needs, emergency food and hygiene products, job application resume assistance, advocacy, food banks, support groups, activity groups, veteran services, behavior health, and more. For more information, call them at 256-3706 or visit them at 463-975 Burr Street, Westwood.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
All right, California and the rest of the nation, time for something you should know. If you don't know, the day is September 18th. Year's 1934, the USSR was admitted into that disastrous thing called the League of Nations. 1944, this is kind of a piece of history, nasty piece of history, that sometimes gets lost in the annals of war. But 1944, the British submarine Tradewind torpedoes the Junior Maru. 5,600 individuals are killed, including 1,377 Allied POWs. And of course, in 1947, United States Air Force is formed. 1987, this has been going on, and this seems to be a trend. And once again, we're facing it with this stupid debate, with those stupid questions posed by CNN earlier this week. 1987, the United States and USSR signed an accord to remove mid-range missiles. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast on iTunes, where America's voice is heard, Tim.
And Andrew, you brought it up, you know, a couple of days ago. They had another one down there in Ronald Reagan's library down there in Simi Valley. 11 people on the stage, four on the first one. I've got the chance to see two-thirds or so of the big debate. And, you know, if you want to maybe do a little bit of recap yourself on there, I can chime in there as well. What do you think of it, buddy?
Well,
by the sound of your CNN, you weren't very happy.
Oh, look, it was 3 hours. It was long. It got boring. I'd rather watch football. You know, I'd rather watch
paint.
You know, about the first hour of it, man, I was ready to turn it off, and I think most Americans probably felt the same. It was only diehards like us who actually sat through that painful display. And, you know, CNN had some of the stupidest questions, you know, to try to pit each other against each other, which is, you know, fortunately, all of the candidates, I don't believe all of the candidates really, they did a great job, okay?
Well, they recognized Andrew. They mentioned it.
They knew it was happening, and they did not engage in the stupidity of it. Now, when it came down to policy issues, then they engaged with each other on positions of policy. But that was so long into the debate.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, it was just horrible. But, you know, look, I mean, there was a couple candidates I thought that did very, very well. And I think every one of the candidates, no matter what, you know, they got themselves some great YouTube clips and some good advertising clips as far as putting their positions and policies out there. I don't want to get into the criticisms of each candidate,
sure,
but the lower tiers need to go now. I think we're to a point where the lower tier debates, they need to go. And, you know, that's the bottom line. The lower tier guys now are just causing unnecessary turmoil. So, I mean, these guys who are not even polling at 1% need to no longer be, you know, included. So let's start now, I think, going into these next couple of months, coming into the winter. We're just a few months out from Iowa. It's time to drop the second tier and then really, really begin to weed off the top tier to get it to where we know exactly where we're going, rather than to allow certain, you know, media entities to be able to destroy. You know, we've used the racehorse analogy all the time. When you get that crowded field, hopefully someone, you know, in that crowd or multiple individuals within that crowd of candidates don't end up taking down our champion.
I think Governor Christie mentioned that right off the bat. He was tired. He did not like the way the things were going on there. And you, like you said, Andrew, they did not play into that. It was extremely long, agonizingly 3.5 hours. I thought CNN, their agenda was to see if they can't pit everybody against everybody, and that really did not work. Now CNBC, another liberal television station, is going to be hosting the next one, but it's about a month away, mm-hmm. And in the next month, you're probably going to see those four bottom ones that you were talking about go away. But a few of the other ones should probably go by the wayside as well, Andrew, don't you think, between now and February?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so CNN, you know, if you're going to host a Democrat debate, you're going to ask a question of if anybody's comfortable with each other holding the codes to the nuclear football, for goodness
yeah.
sakes. And are you going to talk about vaccinations? I didn't realize that vaccinations was at the level of the federal level when it comes to the White House or the executive. Isn't that like a local, statewide, or even a congressional issue, not a presidential issue? So anyways, it was convoluted down quite a bit, I thought, and, you know, they really didn't focus on a lot of things that they could have. And I liked how the candidates, each of them, just ignored the questions. And even though the commentators and the moderators were like,
tried
and said, you didn't answer my question. So what? Your question was stupid. So yeah. I'm going to, you know, say something that's relevant to the audience that's watching. But everybody did a great job. It was funny, you know, in the beginning, you know, Donald Trump being Donald Trump. And you know what? I think the big winner, though, believe it or not, I thought the big winner of the night was, and I'm not talking as far as, you know, I'm talking about as far as not expecting someone to do well, was Rand Paul. Rand Paul. And you guys know that I'm a critic of Rand Paul. And Rand Paul did a great job, I think, maintaining his cool. He did not focus on his libertarian Tea Party rhetoric. And quite frankly, he pulled a trick out of the book. I don't know if people realize this, but he began to talk like a conservative. And he started to talk because he realized that he had a CNN audience. He realized he had a different type of audience. And he did a real good job at trying to portray himself as not being that far-right radical Tea Party libertarian. And so I caught that. Hopefully the rest of individuals caught that. But if not, yes, he sounded very reasonable. Ted Cruz also had a phenomenal night for the most part. You know, I mean, he's very hard to look at when he talks. He's very hard to listen to when he talks. But the way he looks, the way he talks, sometimes interferes with the messaging. But you know what? Ted Cruz did a wonderful job not being all fired up. Once again, he kind of dropped a lot of his rhetoric from the libertarian right and actually talked very, very conservative on some very, very important issues.
Well, I like the way that he looked into the camera and he was looking right at you. And I saw it as well on Rand Paul. I mentioned that to my wife while it was going on. I said, honey, he's answering the questions. He's not going after him. He is not going way far out to the right. He was done answering the questions before his time was up. He looked calm. He looked collected. He had a different audience, like you said. He had the Reagan conservatives were down there. And that is how he played out. He did very, very well, I thought, also, Andrew.
Well, the senators, all three of them, even Marco Rubio, the experience in the Senate really came out on some of the issues where Donald Trump might not have been able to formalize a lot of the technical aspects of the question and answering. However, you know, I mean, Donald Trump is obviously going to continue the surge. Obviously, the real winner, the real success story was Carly Fiorina. And I tell you what, man, there's a certain girl out there that made the comment, you know, they don't want Carly Fiorina going up against Hillary Clinton because she'll be able to field dress that hog.
Now my turn to laugh.
I'm referring.
She will.
I'm referring to college football, Arkansas or Razorbacks. Yeah. You know, I like to put my analogies in there. But you know, look, Carly Fiorina, she was no joke, and I'm very happy. You know, we kind of jumped out there in her favor from the very beginning. Obviously, since she ran for the U.S. Senate out here in the state of California and did very well against California U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer just a few years ago. So hopefully people can really, really look at her. And every time Carly would speak, it was like the moderators tried to cut her off. And that irritated my girl, you know, for the most part. Let her speak. Let her finish, you know, for the most part. But CNN and that leftist media out there is going to be very scared. They are going to be very scared of Carly Fiorina.
They are. And I thought another point when they were starting to talk about the Second Amendment, they really wanted to move on to that as quick as they could and get away from that as quick as they could, Andrew. They only allowed a couple of the candidates to do some answers, and but they got away from it very, very quickly. And, okay.
Are we getting tweeted here?
Yeah,
I'm getting a lot of text messages on who my girl is. And it was just kind of funny inside the studio stuff. But look, here's the deal, man. I mean, you know, it's time to stop this, this 17-candidate race.
It is.
It's time to drop the second tier. Bobby Jindal and all those guys, Pataki and all those guys, look, you're not polling. You're not getting the support. So, you know, we don't need to allow those guys to continue to start taking down, let's face it, take down Donald Trump, because that's what the mission is going to be.
Well, that's what the mission was also, because, you know, I think they said they had 19 questions for Donald Trump and they had three for Scott Walker. I mean, 19 and three. Really? And I thought Donald Trump handled himself well in the aspect that he was getting hit by everybody. They realized that, well, he's the big dog. He's right there in the middle, and they all went after him, and he did himself well. But it's also, Andrew, it's time for Donald Trump to say something of substance, not just say, well, I'm a great businessman. Mm-hmm. I have $10 billion. Mm-hmm. I created companies. I did this. I want to hear some more specifics. Not, well, I'll learn. I thought it was a mistake on his part. I'll learn. I'll know it by the time I get to the White House. You know, Carly Fiorina was loaded for bear. She knew everything that was put at her. He has got to come with that.
Well, good for her for not, you know, falling to the trap about the looks, you know, and the face comment that Donald Trump made. I mean, that's leadership up there. However, though, man, look. You know, we can say that about the lack of substance with Donald Trump, but you know, there is a legitimate trust, I think, of the voters. They believe that Donald Trump can accomplish this. You know, specifically how you're going to do this. Look, no candidate, I think, ever can specifically say how they're going to accomplish something. You know, that's not the point. Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, no matter what, no matter how you feel about him, no matter what you think about him, he is going to go down in history as one of the, if not the, most accomplished from the campaign trail to the White House presidents that we've ever seen. The man, as soon as this Guantanamo Bay closes, he will have accomplished
everything
that was on his platform. And, you know, making America strong again or great again is no different than yes, we can. Yes, we can. You know, bringing hope to America. That's what moves the voting base at this point in time. And that's what's happening. So being specific, that's only for pundits. Pundits want that. Okay. And, you know, Donald is doing a great job not falling into that trap. You know, look, eventually his policies during this Republican primary, I don't think are going to be as relevant, should we say, when we get on the nationals, if he were to win the primary when it comes to going up against whomever it's going to be on the Democrat side.
So do you think he is going to be okay for the next 5-6 months continuing like he is? I don't think he's going to surge like he did after the first debate. I mean, he's probably still going to be in the lead. But do you think that he can continue on this path that he is on, Andrew, for the next 4 or 5 months? And until he gets, let's find out. Well, man, it's down to him and Jeb Bush or him and Fiorina, however it's going to play out. He can continue to say these things like it is. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think so. I mean, he's being very specific. I mean, look, what he's being specific about is a generalization that most Americans agree with. He can run on just securing the border, building a border, fixing the immigration, deporting individuals that don't belong here. He could probably run on that. I will talk to Putin. I'm going to stop Putin. I'm going to do this. That's what is resonating with the people. The people in America want that to happen. I'm going to bring jobs back. We don't care how. You just want somebody who's going to say, I'm going to take on the Congress. I'm going to take on these trade deals. I'm going to take on this in order to make America great again. Okay, most Americans don't care how. Just guys like us, pundits, and individuals who work in the industry, like I have for so many years, are going to want to know those specifics. But at the same time, I think where candidates go wrong is listing all of those specifics. Because when it comes down to it, once you begin to list a policy or a plan as a candidate, and you do it way too soon, then you've got everybody attacking it. And guess what? That could be very detrimental when it comes to the numbers. And Donald Trump pointed out that example with Governor Scott Walker very effectively. What happened in Wisconsin, and as soon as the people in Iowa realized the truth, he plummeted all the way down, and Donald Trump came back
up. So Donald Trump is doing it the correct way and the right way for right now, and you convinced me with your statements right there, my friend. You absolutely convinced me on everything that you just said.
Yeah, okay, folks. Now, time for our favorite book. Comes from Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beaten state, performing a duty so that you, our listener, up and down California and across this great nation, can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE. And then about a half hour after the show, catch us at SierraDailyNews.com. Click on the Listen Live on the 1240. And you can check out the 45-minute show there as well. And go to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. You can catch our podcast and our broadcast from 4 years and check out everything that we have to say. And another way to listen to us, if it's not enough, weekends. Grab a cup of coffee, 7 o'clock on Saturday on 1240 KSUE, right before the news and Swap Shop, and Sunday at 7:30 on 1240 KSUE before pre-program material. Folks, the last weekend of summer, get out there with your families and enjoy it. And remember, we are all born free.
Hello, America. Let me thank you for your time.